Okay, so none of you were in my shear this year, so I'll go over some basics here. I basically want to focus on one machloket rishonim, one chakira within Shemitah Ksafim. Shemitah Ksafim was the topic in shear that I sort of had to rush at the end. We were doing, I was doing Shviat all year, and that just sort of was too rushed. And really, that's the question of whether the laws of Shemitah Ksafim, whether they really are limited to loans or other obligations, and what that tells us about the nature of Shemitah. So before we get into the Rishonim, I want to sort of set out the main Makarot, and then we'll understand where this Machloket comes from, and we can try to understand it together. So the Psukim in Parshat Re'eh, in number one, tell us that Miked Sheva Shanim Taaseh Shemitah. So at the end of 7 years, you will have Shemitah. You'll relinquish your rights to something. The majority of Rishonim assume that this is the end of the Shemitah year. So this coming Rosh Hashanah, right before Rosh Hashanah or at Rosh Hashanah, loans will be wiped away, or possibly you will become obligated to wipe loans away. Those are two different models. Conceptually, there are Rishonim who think that it takes place at the beginning of Shemitah, or maybe both. At different levels. But whenever it happens, v'zeh devar ha-shmita shamot kol ba'al ma'aseh yado asher yasheh b're'ehu lo yigos et re'ehu v'rachiv ki kara shmita la'adonai. So now the key pasuk is this pasuk bet, which says this is the word, this is the law of shmita. So shamot, which again means something like relinquish or give up or release, something like that. All those who Mashe Yado have something owed to them, essentially, Asher Yasheh Birei Ehu, that they had owed to their friend, Lo Yigos Et Re'ehu, don't claim from your friend or your brother, because you have called Shemitah to God, right? That's the key pasuk, right? So what we know is that at the end of 7 years, which again, for the moment, we'll assume like most Rishonim is the end of the seventh year, some sort of debt rather, is wiped away. And again, some Rishonim think that most Rishonim assume it's wiped away automatically, what we call afkata de malka, that the king uproots the loan. Some Rishonim think it's afkata de gavra, right? That at the end of Shemitah, you become obligated to forgive debts, but it doesn't happen automatically. But if I asked you, okay, just based on the pasuk, what would you assume? Would you assume that the types of debts that are wiped away are loan debts, all debts, certain subsection of debts that are more expensive than loans but less expensive than all, right? What would you guess based on that pasuk, or would you have no, right, no sort of intuition in that pasuk? Right, so, just based on that pasuk, right, you wouldn't know, right? There seems to be some sort of claim, right, and you can't collect it. Now, really, I should have put this in, but I can pull it up, so it's not a problem. Why might you think that this is not the case? So, I'll pull up another set of pasukim. 1 second. Okay, let me share this screen. Right, so if you look at the other, if you continue though, in the Psukim, you get the following, right? So that's the first half. But then you have the following, right? Ki yebi cha evyon me achar achecha b'chad she'erecha b'arsecha asher Adonai lecha noten lecha lo ta'ameitz et levavcha velo tikvots et yadcha me'achicha evyon. And so if you have a poor person in your gates, in your land, so don't close your hearts to them. Now, this is, most people think of it in sort of the later lens, which is as a rule in staka, that don't close your hand to someone who needs staka, but that's not actually the original context. And it's clear, ki patoch tiftach et yadcha lo, you should open your hand to him, ha'avet ta'avitenu de machzaro asher yachzar lo. Right, open your hand and lend whatever is sufficient. And then you have a special prohibition. Hishamer lecha Penyed davar im levavcha blia alemor karva shnata sheva shnata shmita viraa einecha veachicha avyon velo titein lo vikara lecha ladonai vayavacha chet. Right, be careful. Don't think something terrible. That as the seventh year is coming, say, listen, Shemitah is coming. I'm going to lose my money. So I'm not going to lend anything to the poor person. Because then he'll cry out to God and you will be guilty to God. Instead, Naton titein lo, velo yira levavcha betitcha lo, ki giglal adavar hazeh, yivarechich ladonai lecha b'chol ma'asecha b'chol mishlach yadecha. Right? Because for this, the fact that you give loans to the poor, even when you might lose it, for that, God will bless you, right? So once you continue the second half of these psukim, it's clear that the context, the simplest context, is a loan, right? Because the prohibition, at least, of not loaning, right? Not loaning, is clearly about loans, right? It's not framed as loan. It's don't not loan. So I know it's a double negative, but that's actually how it's framed in the psukim, right? Don't not loan. And then there's a machlok rishonim. Is it, there's a prohibition to not, to hold back from loaning to poor people in general? Or is there a special prohibition to not loan people money because you're afraid that Shemitah will wipe it away? And that is particularly egregious and you're not allowed to do that. But if you have other reasons to not lend money, then that's not this prohibition. So we have this sort of tension in the psukim themselves, right? Where the first half of the psukim seem to be much more general, that if there's an obligation that you could claim, don't claim it. And the second half, at least in terms of the mitzvot, starts focusing on the mitzvah of lending money to the poor, and Shemitah gets in the way of that, so make sure that Shemitah doesn't get in the way of that, which seems to conceptualize, or contextualize at least, this as loans, right? So that's sort of the tension already in the psukim. And where it really comes to the fore is in the Mishnayot. So the Mishnayot say as follows. This is the 10th parak. Shvi'it mishametet et hamalve bishtar v'shalo bishtvar. Right? Shemitah wipes away a loan, whether it is a loan that is backed by a document and therefore can be collect from leaned property, or it's a loan that was done without a shtar, and therefore you cannot collect from loan properly. So Shemitah wipes them away, right? So right there, the key word is malveh, right? There is a loan. Loan is wiped away. But hakafat chanut, but credit in a store, eina mishametet. Right? Store credit is not wiped away. V'im asah milveh harezim mishamet. But if you turned the store credit into a loan, so then it does get wiped away. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's not true. Even the store credit is wiped away. Harishon mishamet. So if I go into the store today and I buy on credit something for $5, and I go in tomorrow and I buy something for another $5. So Rabbi Yehuda says the second $5 is not wiped out by Shemitah, but the first one, which is now no longer the freshest debt, is wiped away if the end of Shemitah comes. And again, same if I do it 2 days, 3 days, everything besides for the last day is wiped away. Okay? So what do we have? We now have three lines that we have to consider. Right, we have the first line that says that all loans are wiped away by Shemitah. We have the second line which says that credit, store credit, is not wiped away by Shemitah unless you turn it into a loan. And then you have Rabbi Yehuda who says that even store credit is wiped away. Okay? And then you get sachar sachir eino mishamet. Salary, right? Salary is not wiped away. Vim asa milva rezim mishamet. 1 second, Yosef. And Rabbi Yossi says, kol melacha sheposeket b'shvit mishametet. Any work that finishes at Shemitah, is the debt is wiped away. V'she'ena poseket b'shvit, if it doesn't end at Shemitah, eina mishametet. Yeah, Yosef. Many places, yeah. It's called a kavod chanut, right? A kavod chanut is exactly that. It's credit, right? It's where I buy something on credit, and we'll see what it means in a second. But that's sort of that's the problem, right? So this Mishnah, right? So what do we know from this Mishnah, right? What is definitely wiped away by Shemitah, right? Loan, good, a loan. Then we know that the Mishnah introduces two types of debts that are not wiped away, and in both cases we get a qualification, right? So you get the position of the Tanakhama in both cases that store credit is not wiped away in Shemitah, and the salary is not wiped away by Shemitah. And then Rabbi Yehuda qualifies the first one and says, no, only the final store credit, right, is not wiped away, but anything up to that final installment of store credit is wiped away by Shemitah. And Rabbi Yossi says it depends on the work, right? Work that finishes or maybe has to finish, this is a machloket, by Shemitah is for some reason wiped away. And if it doesn't have to end or doesn't end by Shemitah, then it does. Now, what that means ends is a very good question, right? It could be something that happens to end by Shemitah, right? Like the job just finished on Erev Shemitah. Or it could be something that definitionally ends in Shemitah, like I hire someone to plow my field, right? Which means that I know that job ends halachically before Shemitah. Okay? So if you looked at the Mishnah now and I asked you, do debts that are not loans, do they get wiped away by Shemitah? So what would you say? Right? According to the Tanakhama, in both cases, there are clearly a set of debts that don't get wiped away by Shemitah. Right? They're clearly, right? So clearly, there is a position here that Shemitah is somewhat limited to the case of loans. What about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? Right? Do they agree? What are they arguing about? Right? What's the problem? Right? What do we need to understand in Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? Right? Do they believe that there's such a thing as a debt that is not wiped away in Shemitah? Okay, so let's start with Rabbi Yehuda. So why give me two types of possibilities to explain Rabbi Yehuda. Why is there a difference between the final store credit and the second to last store credit, Yosef? Right? What's the difference between that which I bought 2 days ago and that which I bought today? Good, right. So possibility one, what you're saying, Yosef, is that Rabbi Yehuda agrees in principle that the only type of debt that's wiped away by Shemitah is a loan. It's just like we had in the Tanakhama, this weird category called im asa'a milveh, right? If I explicitly turn the store credit into a loan, right? I say, okay, right, you have accumulated $50 of store credit. Now I am defining this. You now owe me as a, right, I'm lending you this money. You now owe me as a debt, as a loaned debt, $50. Then, even though it originated as store credit, it is now conceptualized as a loan. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I disagree that you need to do that explicitly. Right? I agree that that anything which is not a loan is not going to be wiped away by Shemitah. The only thing is that I think that store credit isn't a category the way you think it is, right? You think that anything that originated as store credit is not conceptualized as a loan. And I say that's not true. I say that, listen, the most recent thing you bought, so that's plausibly not store, that's credit and not a loan. But if you have built up credit, so each day when you walk into the store, what you bought today, you bought on credit. But when the person looks at your ledger, everything until now is now a loan, which means that Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing with the principle that Shemitah is only for loans. He just thinks that certain things become loans automatically, right? And you could look at Rabbi Yossi the same way, that he thinks that only loans are wiped away in Shemitah. He just happens to think that work that has ended or must end, however you want to take Rabbi Yossi, by Shemitah, since the work is over, this is no longer salary, right? It's no longer active salary, right? It was salary a week ago, but you should have paid it a week ago and you didn't. So now we conceptualize it as a loan, right? So one way of taking Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is that they both agree that the only thing that gets wiped away in Shemitah is a loan. They just happen to argue that certain other debts can magically or automatically transform into loans based on circumstances. Okay, so that's one way of understanding it, in which case the common denominator between the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, would be that Shemitah is limited to loans. Now, of course, you could distinguish between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda if you wanted to, but for the moment, let's make it simple. Okay, what else might they hold, right? What else might justify Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi's position? And there we go. One second. Mordechai is just coming in. And there you go. Hey, Mordechai. I'm sorry I didn't send it out earlier on the other chat. I forgot you guys were not in the alumni one. I can catch you up in 30 seconds because you were in my share. So we did this. We're doing Shemitah Ksafim. So very quickly, Mordechai. Right. The question we're dealing with is Shemitah Ksafim a halacha in only loans or in all debts? And we noted that in the Psukim, the first half of the Psukim just speak about debts, but the second half that talk about the Isser, right, the prohibition to avoid lending money, seems to imply that the only thing Shemitah Ksafim implies is debts. And then we went to the first Mishnah that we already read in Shir, in the 10th Perek, where the Mishnah says that Shemitah wipes away all debts, and then you have the position of the question of credit, where the Tanakhama says store credit is never wiped away. Rabbi Yehuda says it is wiped away, at least the not most recent payment. And then the Mishnah says that salary is not wiped away in Shemitah. Rabbi Yossi says salary is wiped away in Shemitah if the job is already finished. And we said, what is the Machlok Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? So we so far laid out possibility one, which is that both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agree that the only thing that gets wiped away in Shemitah is a debt. The only question is whether salary of a job that is already finished automatically turns into a loan and therefore gets wiped away with Shemitah or does not automatically. And same with store credit, right? But fundamentally, they both agree that that Shemitah only applies to debts. Okay, good. Now, what's possibility two, right? What's possibility two, right? What's the other way of understanding Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? Well, that's another formulation of what we just said, right? Which is saying, listen, it is a loan, right? It's an automatic loan, right? I mean, that's another way of saying what we said. Yeah, Alex, you unmuted, then you muted again for a second. Right, which is fine, right? But, right, what would be different? What's the name of the cat that has joined us here? Okay, cat sitting. Hello, Mordechai. How are you doing? Oh, and Chaim. No problem. I realized I didn't send it on the right chat, so, or on both chats. Okay. So what would the other possibility be? Right? Someone help me. What's the other possibility in the Mishnah? Right. So the other possibility or group of possibilities seems to be that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are both making a fundamental argument, which is that there are such things as debt. There are such things as debts that are simply not subject to. I'm sorry, that are subject to Shemitah. Right? They disagree on principle. They think that other debts are wiped away. Right? They think that Shemitah, the rule is you wipe away all debts, not all loans, but all debts. Now, the guys who were in my shir this year know that this gets complicated in the Mishnah that I cut out. I originally had it, but I cut it out. Where Oh no, I didn't. I left the key ones, right? Which is there's a whole bunch of other things that are not wiped away. So I'll skip the first case because it's complicated, and if we have time, we'll get to it. If not, not. Which is ha'ones v'mefate v'motzi shemra v'chol ma'aseh beitin. So the debt that isn't the fine rather that is incurred for rape and seduction and for motzi shemra, right, of falsely accusing your new wife of having been I have committed adultery during kiddushin, v'chol ma'aseh beitin, and any act of the court, any debt incurred by the court, in mashmitin, is just not wiped away. And if you lend money with a security, with a collateral, or you give over the documents to Beitin, it doesn't get wiped away. So now we have a whole set of cases that are not wiped away by Shemitah. And again, you have to look at it and say, does that prove that Shemitah only wipes away debts and anything which is defined as a fine or is a court-ordered payment? All of those are simply not debts. And that's why Shemitah doesn't apply to them. Or do you say, no. Fundamentally, there is possibly such a thing as a debt that is not a loan and nevertheless is wiped away by Shemitah. But court-ordered payments are unique for reasons that we talked about a little bit in Shir. But basically, one of the popular reasons is because the Pasuk formulates the rules of Shemitah as lo yigos et re'ehu. You cannot claim from your friend. And it's possible that simply the court is not your friend, right? And since the Shemitah Ksafim may emerge from your obligation to the other, the corporate entity called the court, the judicial system, is simply not subject to mitzvot in the same way. And therefore, maybe uniquely, court-ordered payments are not subject to Shemitah. But in theory, there could be other payments which are not debts, which are subject to Shemitah. Okay, so that is fundamentally the question that I want to explore. And yes, I know I gave you 4 pages, but if I get through six, I'll be happy. Page number six. I know the guys in my share are like, "Oh, there's more pages that you didn't give me." That's also true. I cut down these makara. That is also true. But if I get through six, I'll be happy. If I get to show you more nafkaminas, then even better. But I want to at least explore the fundamental chakira here. Okay. Now this question seems to be a machloket rishonim. Okay? But before we see the rishonim, I want to show you one more source. And this is the Sifrei. Right? This is the Tanaitic Midrash on the same psukim. So, shamot, kol baal. Right? Everyone who has a loan, whatever, should wipe it away. So the Sifrei says, yachal af gzeila ubipikadon. You might have thought that even a debt because you stole or someone gave you something to watch as right, you are a guardian. That should be wiped away. Talmud lomar mashe yado. That's not mashe yado. O mashe yado yachol schar sachir v'akavet chanut. Talmud lomar asher yashe bereehu. Im sofeinu l'rabot kulam ma talmud lomar mashe yado. Right, so he says, well, if we're going to include everything, so then why make all these diukim? Ma mashe yado bizakuf av kulam skufim. So it has to be zakuf. It has to be that you have now formulated it, right? You have specify the number as a debt. Now, right. So, what does it sound like in the Sifrei? To me, it sounds like the Sifrei. We're actually right. We're limiting the types of loans. Right. This isn't just in technicality. The simple understanding, I think, is that it's distinguishing between types of debts. There's loans and there's other things. That are not subject to the rules. Now, it doesn't say it explicitly, but that's the feeling, at least, I get from the Sifrei. But let's look at the Rishonim. The majority of Rishonim, and the simplest way, I think, of understanding the Sugya, and that's what you find in the Riv Matz and the Mishnah, you find it in the Ramban, you find it in many, many Rishonim, is that the way to explain all these cases is that the one and only type of debt that Shemitah applies to is a loan. We can talk about what other debts can be transformed into loans, but fundamentally, Shemitah is about loans. And that's how you explain every single case in this Mishnah, right? The reason that the given is that salary, and court-imposed punishments, and all those things are not subject to Shemitah is because they're not loans. The fact that you find exceptions is because, under certain circumstances, according to certain Shitot, they become loans. And that's basically, if you look, for example, the Rif Matz being the earliest, one of the earliest commentaries we have in the Mishnah. Right, he says, An ha'ones u'mefate, right, he says, why is it that all these court punishments are not wiped away? So he says very simply in four words, De'amar b'milve hadavar talui, right, because this depends on it being a loan. Klomar, im zakva lav b'milve mashmit, if you transform it into a loan, then Shemitah applies to it. V'hacha leka milve, and here it is not a loan, right? V'let leiler Meir Shemitah ella b'milve v'tulo. Meir thinks there is only Shemitah in loans and nothing else. And what's his proof? Kiditnan hakafat chanut. His proof is store credit. Right? So the Rav Matz says there is one principle that explains all these Mishnayot, at least according to Rav Meir, and that is there is loans on one side and there is every other debt that you could possibly think of in the entire world. And none of them, unless they happen to have been transformed into a debt, are wiped away by Shemitah. Okay, someone give me a svara. Someone explain to me why you would think that all debts are maintained through Shemitah, and the one and only debt that is wiped away is a loan-based debt. Why would you think that? Right. Good, right? So what Alex points out is that textually there's good reason, right? Is if you take the second set of psukim as A, the proper contextualization of the mitzvah, and B, you think that the first set of psukim should be read in light of the second set of psukim, then what you learn is that Shemitah, there's a special mitzvah to lend money, and Shemitah, for some reason, risks that, and therefore we say it doesn't, right? It wipes away Shemitah loans. There's a special mitzvah to not let it wipe away, but the whole context tells you that, so textually, there's a very good reason to say that loans are different, right? There's a very good reason to say loans are different, textually. Now, misvara, right? Now, why would that be the case? Okay, so textually, there's a very good reason to believe that. Now, why might that be the case? Right? Now, I don't know. I think you could go in different directions, but why might that be the case? Hey, Mordechai, you are in shir. Come on. You know, I know we talked about Shemitah Ksavim for all of like half a day, right? All of half a day. So again, it could come back to what we said before, which is that, the prohibition is only of, right, of lo yigos, right? So before we said, well, lo yigos is only devolves on an individual, and therefore any court-inflicted punishment is accepted. That wouldn't help us with hakavat chanut or sechar sachir. But you could say, listen, maybe it's not just that it only applies to loans. It's that Shemitah tells you can't be a, I don't know, Shemitah, again, now this is going to sort of spill over into philosophy, right? But if we wanted to sort of explain it philosophically, I think you could do it and say, listen, Shemitah is about equalizing the playing field. So, if you are the weaker party, so the Torah wants to protect you, right? The person who lends you money is stronger, the person who borrows is weaker, it protects you. But other types of loans are actually the opposite, right? By wiping away salary, you're actually protecting the stronger person, right? You're protecting the employer. Right now, again, I know we've spilled over in philosophy, but there is something to that loans are in particular the ones where the debt is, right? Having a debt makes you, the person with the debt is the, stronger party rather than the weaker party, right? Whereas in many of the other debts, you are the person with the debt is the weaker party. So to wipe it away is to take away power from people who are already less powerful, right? So I think philosophically, there's a good reason to go in that direction. And again, Lumdishly, you could say that what it means is that it's a function of logigos, right? Logigos means don't oppress someone, right? Don't oppress someone, right? So if I wanted to put it not just in philosophical terms, but in Lumdish terms, right, and sort of in legal terms, I would say, listen, the reason the loan is wiped away is because you're not supposed to oppress someone by claiming them. But to oppress someone by claiming them is to be forcing someone in a weaker position of power to pay you money that they owe you. But to force your employer to pay you is not oppression, right? It's the opposite, right? The formulation is logigos. Don't oppress someone by claiming money. I'm not oppressing someone by asking for a salary. He's oppressing me by not giving it to me, right? So now, of course, we can go in other directions, right? It could be, as we talked about, and according to certain Mefarshim, the rules of Shemitah Kesafim were instituted partially because since everyone isn't working during Shemitah, they're poorer and they need money. But that is particularly about loans, right? They're taking out loans that they can't pay back to pay for food. That's not necessarily true about other types of debts. So textually, there's good reason. Philosophically, there's good reason. Conceptually, we can base it on logigos. Yeah, Mordechai. Good. So Mordechai is bringing in Rav Meidan's argument, which is that the purpose of Shemitah Kesafim is to make it not only that people involved in agriculture feel Shemitah, but that non-agricultural people, right? Like the few people in society who were not in agriculture, which were mostly artisans, would also have a way of participating in Shemitah, right? Namely, by helping the people who weren't making money, which was most people, and then wiping away the loans at the end if necessary. And if that's the case, right? So yeah, there's also a good reason to say, well, listen, the way that they got in was by lending people money, right? So the way that you implement Shemitah is by wiping away the debt of the loan, right? To protect the farmer. But it's different if he did work for you, right? He doesn't have to do it for free, right? It's one thing to say he's helping you out because you're a farmer. It's another thing to say he has to work for you for free, right? That's already a different level, right? Where it's not just equalizing, right? It's sort of squeezing him just because he can be squeezed. And maybe that's different, right? I think that Rav Meidan's model would help here as well. Okay. Now, this, like I said, is the majority view in Rishonim. However, the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayot seems to disagree. And the Rambam says as follows, Hakafat Chanut, right, back to the credit case. He says, why is credit not wiped away? Hu ma'aseh derech b'nei adam litkasher im ba'alei chanuyot. So this is the way that you have a connection with store owners. Sheikach m'menu tzrachav, you take what you need, ad sheyit kabeit etzlo schum v'yishaleim lo. Until you hit a certain amount and then you pay it back. Ein oto aschum nikmat, nishmat beshvi'it. That amount is not wiped away by Shemitah. Lefi she'eno kederech hachovot. Because it's not like a loan. It's not like a debt. Shlomachar b'al chanut ma'ashamachar kedei she'achov. He didn't sell it to you so that you would be in debt. Ve'eno ela mocher b'damim mu'atim ad she'yitztaref in damim acherim. He sold it to you for a little bit of money until it combines and accumulates to more money, v'yikach et shelo, and then he will take what he wa what is his. Right? Now that is a very convoluted formulation there. But the Beit Yosef looks at it and says, I'm pretty sure the Rambam is saying something new. And he says, V'nir'eh midvarav, she'ein shum chov mishamet b'shvid, ela hamavet chaviru levad. V'mocher chavit v'nitchayev latet lo damim, lo mikrei halva'a. V'lo tikshe, right? So what does he say? He says, I think what the Rambam is saying is, this isn't, right, it isn't really a debt. What is it? It's a sale. Right, it's a sale. Okay, right, so this seems a little bit different, right? But what might he be saying, right? It sounds like what he's saying is, look, if I just read the Parash Mishnah of the Rambam, I would say, yeah, the Beis Yosef is right. He seems to be doing something different. What is he doing? He's saying, listen, Hakavat Chanut, the reason that it's not wiped away is not because it's not a loan. It's not a loan. It's more fundamental than that. It's that the way that credit is conceptualized is not, I owe you a dollar, and now I owe you another dollar, and I now owe you another dollar. It's, listen, I don't even want to talk about money until you get to $10, because, you know, I can't deal with singles, right? Let's talk about real money, right? When it's real money, I'll collect it. Meaning what? It's basically a extended sale. Right, I don't sell you the right. I don't really. The sale is over the course of 2 weeks. Right, every 2 weeks, I then say you have bought from me $50 worth of stuff. It's not that you owed me $2 and then you owe me another $2. It's that until we get to $50, the sale is still in process. Right, the sale is still in process, and therefore, it's not wiped away because it hasn't been, right? It's not done yet, right? Now, if that's what the Rambam means, the Rambam seems to be going farther, right? Because the Rambam seems to be saying that Shemitah is not limited to loans, right? Because what it sounds like, listen, you could have a sale, and the sale could be a debt that would be wiped away. The only reason that credit is not wiped away is because you don't owe anything until you hit $50. Right, until you hit $50, it's like you owe in potential, right? You're in the middle of shopping, right? It's as if, right, you go around and, you know, you, right, if you go to Osher Ad here, you know, you can do this, right? You sort of scan everything in advance, right? And then at the end, right, it's like, I don't owe anything yet, right? I'm scanning it, I put it in my box, but until I walk out, right, I owe nothing, right? I'm putting things in my cart. It happens to be you let me take it home. Right, in my cart, right? And you don't make me go to the cashier. But when it hits $50, you have to go to the cashier. But it's right? Now, if that's what the Rambam means, so again, then the Rambam seems to believe, at least in the Perush Mishnayot, that Shemitah Ksafim is more expansive. That Shemitah Ksafim isn't just about loans, it's about any debt. And then you have to go back to the cases and say, oh, well, then why does it not apply to Maisa Beit Din? So you'll say, well, Beit Din is different, right? That's not a debt. That's the rules of the court. Court can impose whatever they want. Now, what would you do with salary? So maybe you'd have to say, salary is also different. Or you'd have to say, well, that's the machloket in the Mishnah. That once you know that it's possible to disagree on Hakavat Chanu, you could go back and say, oh, that's the machloket of Yehuda and the Chachamim. That the Chachamim, the Tanakhama says that store credit is not mishamet unless you're zokif kemilva, unless you turn it into a loan actively. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it automatically becomes a loan. So we said maybe it automatically becomes a loan because he just thinks that's, right, it automatically becomes a loan. But maybe Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no. Every debt is wiped away during Shemitah. It's just that your most recent debt, right? A store will allow you to buy something on credit, and that day it's not really a loan. It's not a debt at all, right? But the next time you come in, that has become part of the ledger, and now it's a debt, right? And maybe the machloket, the Chacham and Reuven, is exactly this point. Is Shemitah limited to debts that are sorry, debts from loans, or is it all debts? And that's exactly why you have a machloket in the Mishnah. Okay, now, yes, I know I have a lot of makarot here. Let me, yes, Mordechai. So then that would become correct. So theoretically, if you hit that mark before Shemitah, then and then Shemitah hit, right, that would be wiped away, presumably, according to the Rambam, right? According to this formulation. Okay. What I want to do is I'm not going to get through all of this, but I want to show you the one really, really hard case in the Mishnah, that this becomes very important to explain. And that's the case I skipped over in the Mishnah Bet, which is Hashochet et ha-parah v'chilka b'Rosh Hashanah. Im haya chodesh me'ubar mishamet. So if you shecht a cow on what you think is Rosh Hashanah, and you divide it up amongst your friends, and now afterwards, the plan is that you are going to pay each other back, right? One person shechted it, one person had a cow, and everyone else is taking part, so now they owe him money. So it says, what happens if you thought it was Rosh Hashanah, so it's year 8, and then what happens, in Maya Chodesh Me'ubar, they then make it a leap year. Not a leap year, a leap day. And therefore, what was Rosh Hashanah becomes the last day of Elul retroactively. Right? And now, sunset hits, right? So you shecht on Wednesday afternoon. And Wednesday afternoon, you think is Rosh Hashanah, which means it's year 8, which means that at this point, all your debts are safe, right? For the next 7 years. But then they say, no, today was not Rosh Hashanah. Today was the last day of Elul. So as we know, Shemitah Ksafim only takes effect at sunset, going into Rosh Hashanah. So you thought you had 7 years to pay back this loan, right? And now it turns out you have 6 hours, right? And now it turns into Rosh Hashanah, and now it was the end of Shemitah, right? So now what happens? So it mishamet v'mlaveinu mishamet. So the Mishnah says, goodbye, right? You lose the loan. Right? If it's a Chodesh Mubar, if it turns into a leap month, a leap day in a leap month, right? A leap, whatever, a leap day, which makes it a 2-day Rosh Hashanah, so then the loan is, the debt is wiped away. Now, there's a major problem in understanding this entire Mishnah, right? And the problem in this Mishnah is, again, going back to the psukim, what mitzvah tells you that you're not allowed to collect a loan during Shemitah? What are the words? Lo yigos, right? Don't claim the loan. What's the problem? You thought it was Rosh Hashanah. Are you allowed to claim a loan on Rosh Hashanah? No, which means that there was never a time that you could have claimed. And if you never could have claimed, so then the Torah never could have told you not to claim. And if the Torah couldn't have told you not to claim, then it shouldn't wipe away your right to claim. I know that's convoluted. I got that, right? But the assumption of that seems to be is, listen, in order for Shemitah to take effect, there has to be a possibility of you of claiming the debt if it were not for Shemitah. But if without Shemitah you couldn't have collected the debt because it was Rosh Hashanah, then you never could have collected. So the Torah never told you not to collect. And if the Torah never told you not to collect, then the debt is never wiped away. Now, this seems to be what the Yerushalmi is getting at. That very convoluted argument is this Yerushalmi here in 7. Umipnei shehu makif lo pam shnia naseit rishona milveh. So the Gemara says, wait, so since you go back to him a second time, right? This is the Hakafat Kanut case first. Since you go back to him a second time, so now it automatically turns into a loan. So Amar Elazar Rav Yudahi, V'ra'ui l'tov'o b'Rosh Hashanah. Right? The question is, are you able to claim on Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Bar, Rishim Rabbi Zera, b'mamon shehu ra'ui leha'amino. No, you couldn't have claimed it on Rosh Hashanah, but you could have believed him, trusted him. And since you could have claimed it, you could have given him money. So what is going on in the Yerushalmi? Right? So the Yerushalmi seems to be struggling with this question. He says, okay, wait a second. What is going on in Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, you shechted the animal. Now, that's not a normal loan, right? Because you couldn't have claimed it because it's Rosh Hashanah. You can't collect loans on Rosh Hashanah. So if you can't collect it, it's not really a loan. And if it's not really a loan, it shouldn't be wiped away by Shemitah. And then the Gemara says, well, maybe it's Ra'u l'ha'amino. Now, what is Ra'u l'ha'amino? That you could have believed him, right? Right, so that this is a very ambiguous phrase, but so you look at the Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe says, "Lekaman amrinon b'shem Rav, hamalvet chaver amanat shelo litovo elemet she yirtze yifreenu, afilu hachi ashvit misham tato." Later on, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you lend someone on condition that you will never claim money from him, right? You lend him money, he should pay you back, but you never tell him that he has to, that you will be able to claim it. So then, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shemitah still wipes it away. Right? So he comes with this very fancy logic. You might have thought that, listen, if Shemitah only works to wipe away loans, and why only loans? Because the pasuk says that don't claim the loan. So if I have a loan, which I said I will never claim, then Shemitah won't wipe it away. It'll exist. I can never claim it, but that won't change the fact that Mordechai owes me the money, still from Shear, that we said he owed me, right? So you might have thought that, well, why would you limit it to loans? You would limit it to loans because only by loans is there a special prohibition called lo yigos of claiming a loan. And if I make it an unclaimable loan, then Shemitah doesn't wipe it away. So he says, no, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, even an unclaimable loan is in principle claimable. You just happen to not choose, or you've committed to not claiming it. But in principle, it is claimable. And therefore, it gets wiped away. And then the Gemara says, Uporech Allah, v'atani bebanitin lekaman ha-shochet ha-parah v'chilka b'Rosh Hashanah. But what about the case of Rosh Hashanah? The Amar Rabbi Lazar Allah da Matnit and Rabbi Yehuda hi. V'ra'ui hu l'tova b'Rosh Hashanah bitmia. Wait a second. Are you able to claim him in any way, shape, or form on Rosh Hashanah itself? Klomar de maskana de Rabbi Lazar hi mishum da hachkusha al korach da vidin la'atzeh kele Rabbi Yehuda sharei ein ra'ui l'tova b'Rosh Hashanah. He said, wait a second. If you can't claim it on Rosh Hashanah, it is mere credit. Right? Because what is credit? Credit is unclaimable debt. Because you only are allowed to claim it when it hits $50. Va'amay mishamet. Elekar v'yuhuda shapir hu da'atya, the sphere lay da'rishan rishan mishamet. V'hachan amay mayri gondolachmen v'chazar v'lakach. Devishonah kemilvo mishamet. So it must be where you took the meat from him twice. And as we know, when you take something from someone twice, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first one automatically becomes a debt. Ushmat mina, mididachek r'lazel ukme vezin Rabbi Yehuda, da amal rabbanan eino mishamet. And since he stuffed it into Rabbi Yehuda, mehai tam aguf v'dahavelei ka'achavet chanut, to make it into a credit, ho'ol ve'in ro'oi l'tovo, because you can't claim it, v'kashi l'rav. Da Amar afilu b'shein ro'i l'tovo ashmiyet mishamet. Now that was a very complicated Bnei Moshe, but what he says is, listen, what you see here is that the machloket of Yehuda and the Chachamim is much more fundamental. The Chachamim think that the only thing, the way he's taking it, is that the only thing, it's not about debt per se. It's the Chachamim think that the only thing that can be wiped away by Shemitah is that which in practice you could have claimed under the rubric of lo yigos, right? Which is only a debt from a loan. And since you could have claimed it as a loan, and then the Torah comes and says you can't, Shemitah wipes it away. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even loans that I can't claim, right? I made a promise. I will never claim it. I'll never push him. Mordechai just has to know in his own heart that he owes me money. So that is going to be, that debt is still going to be chayev. Now, why? Not because it's a debt, but because in principle, right, lo yigos applies. Now, what do you see here? Right? So you see the Pnei Moshe is telling you that this is exactly, right? Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim aren't just arguing about a technicality. They're arguing much more fundamentally about how much does the question of what gets wiped away in Shemitah hang on the practical ability to claim it as a loan. The Chachamim say, if you can't claim it as a loan, then Shemitah doesn't apply. Rabbi Yehuda is much more expansive, and he says, listen, if in principle I could look at it as a loan, even if you can't claim it, or Roi Lahamino, I trust you, right? And that's like a quasi-debt, right? I didn't call it a debt, but I trust that you'll pay me back, which is much weaker. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda takes all these categories and says, in principle, there's a debt, right? Even though I couldn't claim it, that's enough. And what you see is that in the, right, in this Yerushalmi, in the case of Rosh Hashanah, you get this idea that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim aren't just arguing about a technicality. They're arguing about to what extent Shemitat Kesafim is really a derivative only of this pasuk of Lo Yigos in its strongest form, which would limit it only to loans, right? Or is it something else where you can come up with all these like quasi cases and say, even though they're not quite loans in the classic sense, right? Shemitah applies to them. Right, and that seems to be that the Yerushalmi, as understood by many of the Mefarshim, seems to go in this direction that maybe there really is this other voice, maybe not as radical as the Rambam, that it has to be something that's not related to, that all debts, even if they have no relation to a loan, are wiped away. But the idea that no, they're really arguing about the extent to which it has to be a loan in the classic sense of a loan, where I lend you money and I'm allowed to ask you for it back, or whether there are things that don't fit in that rubric and nevertheless Shemitah applies to them. That is how they understand this machloket of Rabbi Yehuda. I see it's already 9:30, so I'm not going to keep you more, but I'll just show you that if you look in the Beis Yosef, right, this is exactly what he goes into, right? In order to support the Rambam, he turns to the Yerushalmi for exactly these reasons. And you'll see that this is also discussed in different Yishonim. Tosfot in Ksubos suggests as well that the question of whether Shemitah is limited to loans or not, he seems to think that that's the machloket in the Gemara. And I'll just throw out there that this may come down to other cases where it is a loan, but it might be an unclaimable loan. So if you look at the Gemara in Makot and Daf Gimel, you have a machloket in the Gemara itself, whether a loan that's made for 10 years, and the 10 years end after Shemitah, does Shemitah wipe away the loan, right? And there, the Gemara expresses it explicitly in this way, that if you say a 10-year loan doesn't get wiped away in Shemitah, you say that the reason is because, listen, the only thing Shemitah can do is wipe away a loan that were it not for Shemitah, you could claim right now. But if the loan isn't due for another 4 years, then the reason that you can't claim it is because it's not due. And if it's not due, so then Shemitah can't wipe it away. And the other Shita says, no, if in potential it is one day, the type of thing that you could claim, well, that's enough to qualify it as a debt that Shemitah applies to. And again, those are both within loans, but again, the machloket and the Gemara seems to be about how much is Shemitah Kesafim simply the negation of the ability to claim a debt, a loan debt, right? Or is it something more expansive about an elimination of all types of debt or all types of debt that in any way, shape, or form are connected to a loan? And you can see that this machloket really, really drives the mefarshim, and this is what I gave you here in the Rambam on the case of the shocheret apara, right? So you have the Rari Kurkis, the Radbaz, Kesef Mishnah. And again, if you look at the Derech Emunah, he points out as well, like we said, that it does seem to be that the Rambam is the outlier, right? Where the Rambam, there's good reason to believe that Limaskana, he takes all these clues to say that Shemitah is not just about loans. It's about all debts, and that's why he came up with that novel reading of Hakavat Chanut. And most Rishonim disagree with that, but I got through the main Makara just to set out the basic Chakira, showed you one sort of Nafkamina. If you want to go through all the Rambam, you can do that, but it's already been an hour, so I will free you from your moral, from your guilt to stay here. And you can go back to whatever, cat sitting or whatever it is that you're doing. Well, it's good to see you. Okay. Alex, you guys, wedding plans going well?